Good morning. It's 10:21, April 7th, 2012. I'm running a little bit late this morning. Everybody slept in. It's first day of spring break at my house. Everybody gets a spring break except me, of course, because I have to take care of everyone, and I had my spring break last week. Not much of a break, but it was quite an adventure. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what I'm thinking about today, and mostly what I'm thinking about is... John Moreau is trying to put together a roundtable on cross-promotion for print books, not podcasts, but print books. That's something that I've been playing with for quite some time. I'm thinking about that a little bit, thinking about some of the ideas that are quite important in terms of indie publishers trying to get stuff out, not the least of which is that you can't promote an author that shares your pool already. It doesn't work. The only way it really works is to get leverage on it, is to be promoting someone who is not already known to your audience, but someone for whom the audience will have, with any luck, an affiliation, an association, and it'll work for them. It was an interesting challenge. I finished the book by Nora Roberts. I've been studying this book, A Will and a Way, by Nora Roberts. It's apparently one of her older books. I'm not exactly sure when it was first published. I'm pretty sure this is a reprint of a book that has gone out of print. She's working with somebody to do her backlist. I suspect it's her agent who's getting rich. Not that Nora Roberts is hurting at all. She's earning something over $20 million a year, which is nice. Which takes me to thinking about Chris Rush's last business post, which was a rehash of something Mike Stackpole posted, and which is really kind of oh-hum here. I'm surprised that Chris found it to be significant, although I shouldn't be. Having been with them all week and having listened to them talk about mainstream press, it shouldn't really surprise me that they are not really understanding what the new midlist means. They're very much, she and Dean both, very much invested in mainstream pub. In spite of the fact that Dean is currently wrestling with the Post, talking about the balance between traditional mainstream and independent press. Now, to a certain extent, I understand his point, particularly in regarding short fiction. Short fiction, perhaps there's some benefit to selling a story for $250 to, like, Asimov, because then they pay you for your advertising. And anybody in Asimov who finds your work and then go find other work, which for somebody like me with four books out is not an insignificant consideration. The other side of that is I have four books out. I've already got an audience. Asimov's circulation is what? 20,000? 40,000? 100,000? Yeah, you know, it's okay. If I ever thought that I would be saying, oh, you know, circulation of 20,000, it's okay. Yeah, oh, well, how things have changed. Anyway, it's 20,000 people, speaking of cross-promotion, that don't really, for the most part, know me. People who come from a paper perspective. Although I'm sure Asimov is available electronically these days. I wonder if I can get it on my Kindle. I don't know. The interesting part of this whole thing is how does this all mesh? I have, which reminds me, again, I still have a short story that I haven't finished. It's like down to the last 500 words. I should finish that and get it out. Gah! Oh my God, I can't believe it's been sitting there all this time, and all I have to do is finish it. I'm down to like two paragraphs, maybe three. Well, I'm glad we have these little talks in the morning because it helps to jog my memory about things that I should have been taking care of all along. Yesterday was kind of a crap day in terms of productivity. I set out, as I said in the morning walk, I set out to go back and do some recording. Found my wife there had already started a long string of laundry. So rather than interrupt the laundry activity, I went and did other things. There were some errands that had to be run. There's some chores that needed doing. I took care of them, let the laundry go. And we got the laundry all done yesterday for the whole weekend until the kids throw their stuff downstairs today. But 6 loads of laundry yesterday certainly has taken the pressure off having to run heavy machinery, which means at some point, if things quiet down a bit today around the house, I should be able to get some recording in between now and Monday. I really want to get this illimitable domain done because it's a big one, it's ugly, it's a great story, and I need to get it out so that I can get myself clear of one more commitment and get out from underneath that one. I also need to talk to Deb Geary about doing her books. Yes. Yes. We aren't sure quite yet where or how it's going to be put out. She already has a huge audience. Expanding that with podcasts is necessarily going to be the right choice for her. So we'll have to see how that goes. I don't know how it's going to work out, quite frankly. But I am going to do the recording and the production. It probably will be straight read, no music. And as much as it pains me, she'll probably choose to put it up on Audible. It will be a flat contract work where she will pay me for the outcome, which is cool. Probably. Unless I can talk her into something else. We'll see. One day at a time, one project going, and I've got this other one that has to get clear. I've got this other story I've got to write for Scott Sigler's GFL Universe, the origin story for Greedock the Splithead. I still need to track down the stuff that he sent me links to and get that consumed and subsumed. I think I mentioned yesterday the Bulldog story. I don't know that I mentioned the Kickstarter campaign. That is going along with that. Half Blaster Will Travel. If you follow the link, you'll see it. Some of you have already done it. I see that between yesterday and today, they've picked up a couple more people who've kicked in the buck to get my story and to support the campaign. I may have to do it myself. It would be fun to have a copy of this. So, yeah, what else? I gotta finish Divine Inspiration. I gotta record, and then I can do the audio edit work on Illimitable Domain. By Kim Newman. Walter Paisley of the Paisley Agency. Okay, yeah, we're going to do that one. What are we going to do today? Maybe tomorrow. The kids are old enough. We aren't doing Easter egg hunts, so I'll just put a big bowl of chocolate in the middle of the table and they'll call it good. Maybe tomorrow will be a quiet day. That would be excellent. Easter Sunday. I can't think of a better day to read a horror story. Oh, speaking of Easter. Somebody on Facebook had a picture of it. A graphic that takes umbrage with the notion that Jesus was a zombie. Jesus was not a zombie, Jesus was a lich. And I thought, that's brilliant. So if you get a chance, Google that one. That one was pretty funny. Let's see what else. So much to think about, so much to do. I got the first of the two romance stories I want to get together for the romance collection. About a third done. I'm 2,000 words in. I like the way it's going. It's slated for the opening slot. So its title is Schooled Out. So the collection will be named for the first story. I think that's appropriate. I've got a great start. Now if I could just figure out where it goes from here. Of course, I can't figure it out until I sit down and put my fingers on the keys. So that'll be something that I have to do. Perhaps after I finish the story that only needs two paragraphs to get called done, and then I can put that story out. That would be excellent. So, yeah, that's about 8,000 words. I can put that up for 99 cents. I'm not proud. Get a picture of a stained glass window and put it in negative. Inverse video. Inverted color. Oh, wow. An Airstream. It's like a vintage Airstream. What a beauty. Now that would make a great office. That's a beauty. Holy cow. Yep. It's empty, mostly. Some odd bits and pieces here and there, but that would make... I have to think about this. One of the things that has become quite clear in the last few days is that I really need an office. Now, whether I get an office in a building and spend like $200 a month on it, which would be, I don't need much. I need a place to go in and set up a laptop and be quiet, away from home, where the interruptions are not quite so easily done. So I don't need much. And the beauty of that, the incentive there, is that by going to an office, I train myself to go to the office to write, and I don't get sidetracked by anything else because I wouldn't have internet. I just have the phone. One thing that I learned, boy, did I learn it at the workshop, was that when I was in my little cabin, I really did like that little cabin. I had a coffee maker, had a refrigerator, it had a microwave, it had a sink, it had a bathroom, it had a table, and of course it had a bed. Also a shower, but for writing purposes, getting a limited amount of access to the internet, really, like, if I was lucky, 10 minutes a day, and usually when I wasn't looking. Well, that really does contribute to writing. No internet, no Facebook, no TweetDeck. Twitter's on my phone, so I get that anyway. But setting the phone to silent, setting the keyboard to stun, and go. That was powerful. That was hugely powerful. I wonder if I can get the same punch by going to the local coffee shop. My favorite location used to be a Starbucks. It's now a different franchise called Blue Mug. And they have very much the same setup. They've just installed their coffee equipment, so I could get a latte if I wanted, but drip coffee is perfectly fine. And going down there and sitting in one of their tables as my office, I might have to do that. I may have to. Okay, going to my office now. Time to noon. I'm going to go to the office. I'm going to write. that. I have to say, you know, getting up, going to the office, going to my table in the morning at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock some days, in Oregon, and writing until 8 or 8:30, grab a shower, get dressed, go across, have breakfast served, get done with breakfast, come back, maybe do a little printing, maybe do a little coloring, maybe do a little study, get ready to go by 10:30, head to the office at 10:30, we have class from 11 to 1, and then back to the room for work between 1 and 7. Of course, we left around 6:30, but that was that regimen, that discipline that put me in the, these are the hours you have to write, you best get with it, really made a big difference. Having a firm deadline, I had until 7 o'clock that night to finish my exercises, to write my stories, to whatever it was that I needed to turn in. That was powerful as well. So yeah, I really need to be a little firmer with myself, I think, perhaps, is the key issue here. While there's certainly distractions here in the house, I'm my own biggest distraction, I'm afraid. The good news is, I think I've broken my Lord of the Rings online addiction. I logged on long enough to pay my rent, and that was about it. My wife is somewhat distressed because I haven't logged on to play with her all week. Sorry, dear, I've been busy. But this is the weekend. Perhaps I can do a little slaying, do a little playing, do a little get my mind out of it right after I finish this one story. Because if I can finish that and get a cover on it and get it out, that'll be a pretty strong incentive. That'll be very powerful. I need to go through it. I need to finish it, and then I need to go through it on a typo run and check it for edits, because I'm sure it's pretty screwy at the moment, and see if there's anything in there that I want to add. I don't think so, because the point of view that I used in the story is pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward. It's one that I'm relatively comfortable with and quite facile with, I think. I get into trouble in third. First person pretty seems to stay pretty focused. Anyway, I made it all the way around. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and I will talk to you then.